building your portfolio, picking winning stocks, using your computer. And now here is Jordan Kimmel.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any securities or other instruments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel and may not reflect the opinion of Brook Street Securities Corporation. Brook Street, its representatives, and or its clearing firm may make a market or deal as agent and or principal in the securities mentioned in this broadcast or derivatives based thereon. Additional information on securities discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome, everybody. Welcome to another segment of Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. Folks, you'll need to strap in today. We'll have three guests. We have a busy show, a really excellent show. We're going to have in number one, Kelly Gallagher, who's the co-president of Skylar Entertainment, and she does a terrific and very unique style of production, promotion, and the world's changing. It'll be very interesting to see what she does. We're then going to have on Dr. Roger Corey, and Roger's the president of Mammoth Resource Partners, an expert in oil. He's got some very, very strong opinions and a great history in both oil production and oil price prediction. And then we'll have on Robert Prechter, a legend in our business. Bob is actually famous for his interpretation of Elliott Wave. Bob's got some strong opinions on several different markets. I look forward to having Bob on later in the show as well. First, let's see if we can get Kelly on. Is Kelly out there?
Yes. Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Hey, Kelly's right there. Great. Kelly, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. It's great to be here.
All right. And friends and listeners, I met Kelly a couple of years ago. She was doing a television shoot at the time for somebody. I know that Skylar Entertainment, though, is much more than just a media. I know you're doing several things. Can you first tell us the three main areas, what you're doing at Skylar?
Sure. Skylar Entertainment was established about 2 years ago in 2003, and we have three entities, promotion, production, and publishing. And as president and co-founder of Skylar, I'm responsible for the overall business and development of all three entities. And basically, what we do is have three different underlying companies under an umbrella, Skylar. We have a business. I have a business partner, Samaria Shayek. She's a television and film producer, and my background is sales, marketing, and business.
Okay.
So what we have done is collaborated on several short films, feature films, television pilot, as well as taken that part of production and realized that we need to promote and market these events, etc. Once you produce them. So that's where I come in. I do all the promotion. We do product launches, branding, et cetera, for not only just film and television, but also for all kinds of companies.
Okay, well, let me ask this question this way. A lot of times there's really, you know, my wife's in publishing. There are just people who do PR work.
Mm-hmm.
How does the relationship work where you can kind of do all three? What's the synergy when you bring them all in-house?
Sure. A lot of people ask us how we can do so many things. And I say, this day and age, post, you know, 9/11, et cetera, you can't just do one thing. If you do just one thing, you chances are you're not going to be profitable if that's not profitable.
Okay.
So the way we looked at it is, with Samara's background as a producer and my background in the promotion and the marketing and the sales and the publishing, every launch, every event, every production, anything that's new and that's going out into, you know, into the field needs to have all different sections of development, whether it be from the original to you know, to hiring a crew or to developing an outline for the business plan or for the product, to marketing it, to getting it out there to the public, to branding it. And together, we can do all of those things. So we can provide a full-service entertainment kind of agency as opposed to just doing the production and then taking it somewhere else to do the promotion and marketing.
Okay. Well, you know, I see, you know, I appreciate, number one, a lot of the invitations. I see you're very active in the tri-state area.
Yes.
And hosting a whole bunch of gatherings. And can you just tell us basically, you know, what kind of companies do you work for? What kind of, you know, events maybe how do you roll these things out?
Sure. Like I said, we have the three different entities. So people come to us on, you know, looking for different things. In our promotion side of the business, we've placed ourselves in Hudson County, especially, which is in here in New Jersey where we are, and Lower Manhattan as kind of the full-service agency, not just an ad agency, not just a graphic design agency, not just a PR agency. So let's say a restaurant will come to us, which we consider an entertainment entity, an entertainment part of the entertainment industry. They'll come to us and say, we're opening up our new restaurant. It's really cool. It's really great. We need a name. We need design. We need to promote it. We need to advertise it. We need to do the promotional launch event for it, okay. And we need to do a commercial for it. And our company can do all of that for them.
So
we work with restaurants. We work with, you know, we television pilots and television shows where we'll do the pilot, we'll produce the pilot, as well as then market the show. We have a publication called Passes that is launching this month here in Hudson County, similar to the Brooklyn L. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. It's a free publication given out on in Brooklyn on the L train, and basically, you know, explains what there is to do in the Brooklyn area. We're launching one here in Hoboken, and then that way we can take our clients that we are directly and the events that we promote and the production, that we can incorporate them into this publication and cross-market them that way as well.
Okay. Interesting. Now, I know that, you know, while this is not a public company, folks, and,
no. You
know, and on our show we don't do promotion of individual stocks or entities. I know that I know Kelly for a while, and I know she does a great job. Can you get into a little bit of your background, how you actually, I guess, formed this, how you guys got together in this?
Sure, sure. Professionally, I've been in sales and marketing for within the print publication industry, focusing on restaurant trade publications and event planning publications. My educational background is a communications major, so that I took two tracks where one was, you know, focusing on direction and production, and the other was focusing on marketing and the research side of it. So I've always had the niche of production in me, but I went the business side in terms of, you know, the marketing, sales, and advertising, et cetera. And when I was going back into the business world. I went out to look for a full-time job, as they say. I had been a stay-at-home mom for 2.5 years. My son was premature, so I had to give up my career for a few years there.
Okay.
And so I went back into the business world to find that no one is going to pay me what I was being paid before, and I had a lot of competition. So I decided to invest some money in a short film called Approaching Heaven. I executive produced it. I brought Samara in to produce it, and we realized that while we were doing this film, we were going to have to market it. We were going to have to launch it. We were going to have screenings and parties, and how are we going to get it to the festival circuit and all that. And I said, well, I can do that. You can produce it, and I'll fund it, and then I'll market it. And we decided right then and there, with all of our different connections and my background and hers, that we could really maintain an entertainment agency, a full-service entertainment agency. So we both decided that's what we were going to do. And I'm a single mom with a new company.
Well, that's pretty exciting. And again, you know, this is a little bit different than we often have on here. We have, you know, either market analysis or we do, you know, large companies. Tell us, maybe, are there any clients you'd like to share with us, or any success stories that you've been able to do for people that maybe is worth sharing?
Well, for example, we do, like I said, in terms of promotion, we do all different types of branding, consultation, launches. We have an apparel company right now. They hired us as a consultant, a marketing consultant. So we are reviewing their business plan. We are helping them launch promotionally their press releases, their kits, how to market their product, et cetera. That's one client. Another client is he patented a product, and he needed a brand and a name and a logo, and that we did the full complete branding, marketing, launch, press launch from the beginning of that product. That took about 6 months. That's launched. Then we have production. Samara has just worked on a $1 million feature film called Waltzing Anna. It's going through the circuit right now, and then we're doing the press for it. We can take on any type of client. I mean, any type of marketing and press you need. We like to incorporate them all as, you know, entertainment industry, within the entertainment industry. You know, that's kind of our gig, the entertainment industry, things that are fun and things that there's a lot of opportunity, and there's a lot of people that spend a lot of money on going out.
Okay, now, are any of the larger, say, entertainment companies now in the world of to outsourcing? Are you doing outsourcing for larger clients?
Is that something you're involved in? In terms of production, we are the outsource agency. We just did a couple of commercials, one for for the large toothpaste companies, and they outsource us. They contacted us as the outsourced production.
Right, exactly. That's what I was thinking, right.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how we get a lot of the production, our production gigs, that Samara actually is the sole producer on or co-producer on. People contact us because they know we've got a company, and then we've got tons of resources. She's been in the film industry for 15 years. She's been a producer. She worked for a large independent film company up until the inception of Skylar, and she's got a lot of resources. And so she uses those resources to bring in the right crew, et cetera.
Okay.
Myself, I do the same thing with promotion. When I have a client, we subcontract out a lot of the people that work with us because a lot of it's project by project. So it's, okay, we need 5 graphic designers and a crew, a PR crew. So we'll go to the people that we know, people we've used, we'll hire them on. We have a really good, consistent group of people that we work with who back Skylar and back our projects and really make everything, top-notch for our clients.
Right. Well, Kelly, let me say this. I want to leave you a minute here to give your contact information, folks. What you have here is a very energetic, very enthusiastic, and most importantly, the entrepreneur and the spirit that we talked about that really makes great public companies is the same kind of ownership, the insider ownership, where your attention to the detail. I know that I get some nice invites, and I'm a family guy. I don't get out much, but I do appreciate the invites when they come, and I know you do a great job with them. Why don't you give your contact information and let people find you, how they can actually find you?
Sure, and just so you know, I have every intention of working towards becoming a public company at some point or another. We're looking. I'm a global person.
Okay,
and that's why
I know you are, and I'm sure you're
going to
get there. Why don't you let them find out how they could find you for now?
Sure. You can go to our website, www.skylarent.com, or you could contact us directly at 201-314-8568.
Well, Kelly, listen, let me thank you for joining us. What we're going to do is I want to kind of lead into where we're going to go on the next segments here.
Sure.
You'll come back and you'll join us. Please keep me on your list. I promise to make it out there shortly. And do appreciate the work that you're doing.
Great. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Jordan.
It's been my pleasure. It's been my pleasure,
right,
Kelly. So, folks, what we're going to do in a couple minutes after a break here, we're going to bring on one of the leading experts now. I know that oil and the price of oil, where the commodity is going, is on everybody's lips and everyone's mind, driving inflation, driving the cost of living. We're going to have on probably one of the leading experts in this, Dr. Roger Corey, tremendous credentials. And then in our third segment, we're bringing in the legend Bob Proctor to talk about the Elliott Wave analysis and what he's seeing in the markets. Folks, you got to strap on your seatbelt. I'm not so sure you're going to like what he says, but I'm very interested in what he has to say. Folks, you are listening to Voice America Business. I am Jordan Kimmel. We'll be right back with more profitable investing after this quick break.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now and never make a bad investment again. 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On Managing Technology the Right Way, we'll talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its associated risks. Heard every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Sun Jogal, the host of Managing Technology the Right Way, will interview business leaders and other experts that have shaped the way we use technology. If you want to keep up with the changing world of technology, listen to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Achieve Total Wealth Management, Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back over, I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service's State Forester, and the Ag Council.
What stock should I buy?
When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra. Broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 1-888-766-6828. Once again, that number is 1-888-766-6828. Let's get back to another segment of Profitable Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And then I'd have to get up on ladders and branches, and it was much harder. And the question is, if it's a lot harder for me to get those kumquats, if I were in the kumquat business, what would those kumquats be worth then? The issue is not that we've run out of oil. The issue is that we've run out of easily accessible oil, and now we're going to have to work very hard, and it's going to be a lot more expensive in order to maintain the kind of style of life that we've grown so accustomed to.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, listen, Roger. We just came back on the air.
Oh, okay.
So we got the most enthusiastic guest I've ever heard. Roger, you need to listen a little bit.
Okay.
We just got back on the air, folks. We're with Dr. Roger Corey. Roger's extremely excited, as you hear. Roger's very, very pumped up. Maybe had an extra cup of coffee today. Roger's the president of Mammoth Resource Partners. He's an expert on oil. But, Roger, we just came on the air, my friend.
Great.
Okay, we got to relax a little bit. Let me get right into it. I know that you're very, very hyped up on oil. You got
to
listen, though.
At our next conference, we had the broker-dealer conference in L.A. that we were able to see each other.
Okay, absolutely. And it's a pleasure to meet you. But I want to make sure, Roger, you kind of jumped on right in the middle here. You want to first spend a minute letting people know who you are and a little bit of your background?
Sure. Well, I'm president of Mammoth Resource Partners. We're a oil and gas drilling and exploration company in Cave City, Kentucky, and we drill for oil in the Appalachian Mountain regions. According to the U.S. Geological Society, it's the largest known reserve of oil that's yet untapped in North America. And I became very interested in oil and started an oil firm because of the concept of peak oil, which is what we're talking about here today. And we do some wonderful work out here, but at the same time, we also feel that the work that we do has some implications worldwide, because every single barrel of oil we can pull out of the ground domestically in the United States, as you know, Jordan, is one barrel of oil that we're just not going to be able to that we're not going to have to take from a foreign country. And you can see some of the issues geopolitically that's going on right now with oil around the world.
Okay, now let me ask you this. You were referencing while we were on a commercial break a study done by, and I'm reading right now Jim Rogers' book. I'm pretty schooled in what you're talking about. Can you get into what they mean by peak oil, the study, and maybe your qualifications on discussing it?
Well, you know,
Peak oil is certainly, I have a degree from California State University in Fullerton in the field of communications, and then later on I graduated with a law degree from Pepperdine University School of Law, and I've been in the field of investing in business probably for about 25 years. I began studying this in the late 1990s, and I was mentioning to you a little bit of the history. Dr. King Hubbard, a Shell oil executive in the late 1950s, had a startling discovery before a World Council of Petroleum Engineers. He felt that the United States would reach a peak level of production somewhere in the late 1960s, early 1970s. In fact, that's exactly what occurred. In 1971, this country produced 11.1 million barrels of oil for that year, and it was never again repeated. We are now down to last year 6.1 million, and we believe right now we will be in the 5 million barrel range somewhere, especially with the problems out in the Gulf and so forth. So Dr. Hubbard was right. Unfortunately, he died before the whole world knew he was right, mm-hmm. and that's where the study of peak oil came from. The next question is, when does the world reach peak production? And the information we have is so sketchy, and the obfuscation on the part of a lot of these different countries is so strong that we don't really know those answers, and that's why you're seeing the kind of pressures on the world markets. Crude oil is up significantly again this morning, and it just doesn't seem to have any bottom to it. And that's really, I think, what your investors are looking at in terms of their investing future as well.
Okay, let me ask you this. So what about alternative energy, and what about the world understanding possibly we need to go in another direction? How far out are the real earliest serious applications of alternative energy?
Well, and that's an excellent question. And I, you know, I'm an American born and raised, and I can tell you that I think all the time in terms of, you know, what can we do? Certainly cutting back and certain types of alternative energies. I have a farm here in Kentucky, and we have a solar system there. I mean, I understand a lot of those issues. The biggest problem that people don't understand is what they call net energy received for net energy used. Most alternatives actually use up more energy to create the products that are needed than it's actually going to produce. Most of them do. But there's one other little factor on a global level that makes it much more precarious. There's a paradox called Jevons paradox that I think is very interesting. Let's take China, for example. Great monolithic giant that has now emerged over the last 10 to 20 years, gobbling up all of the reserves possible, making deals with Venezuela, possibly jeopardizing a lot of our Venezuelan oil. Jevons paradox says this. If we, the United States, starts cutting back on our energy usage, and we are good world citizens, but China refuses to do it, then China now has a strategic advantage over the United States, maybe a military advantage over the United States. You see, the world has to move in concert together, step by step, in order to get this problem solved. If you're looking toward that type of alternative, we'll cut down on our usage, turn back the thermostats type of approach. And we are afraid to do that, because what if they don't comply? We could lose the world power status we have, because oil is power. And Jordan, those are about the strongest words I can offer. Oil is power.
Right. Well, I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure why that is the case. If we, in fact, had an alternative energy, and I've heard some theories that, you know, the Middle East was a superpower thousands of years ago, and there's dust storms blew over their cities when they lost their importance. What if we had fuel cell technology and simply did not need the oil anymore? Why would that be powerful at that point?
Well, now I think I'm really going to take you to the edge. Hydrogen fuel cells, first of all, let's just take that as one of the different fuel cell components. Hydrogen fuel cells have been in R&D in various different forms since the early 1980s. This is not new. We're talking about a battery device mixing hydrogen and oxygen and producing an electric current. Most of the R&D companies, a lot of them are up in Canada, have gone bankrupt or scaled back production significantly. But here's the real kicker, and this is the trump card. Right now, we have an entire planet that's, if you want to look at it as one big pipeline. Oil is going from here to there, from here to there, from where it is to where it needs to be. It's being piped, it's being trucked, it's being shipped, it's being flown all around the globe. That's an infrastructure that is a behemoth. One of the largest, if not the largest infrastructure in the world, is the infrastructure of oil. If we were to take that down, first of all, there's 200 million cars in the U.S., 700 million cars worldwide. If we were to replace all of those cars with beautifully working hydrogen fuel cell cars, which, by the way, don't really exist, but if we were, just the natural resources alone would wipe out the world supply to replace all of that. So no matter what route we go, we're going to be in for higher oil prices. There is no replacement for the combustible engine that's on par with the energy efficiency of your automobile or of an airplane. And that's why so many different groups worldwide and many, many countries and governments understand right now that oil is power. A lot of the things that you see going on geopolitically in the world, as you now know, is about oil. Stocks are going up and down based on their sensitivity to oil as oil goes up, and they will continue to do so over the next 10 years.
Well, let me say this. I am impressed with your interest not only in the business, but seeing an opportunity and really entering the business. What I want to share with you is we have just a couple minutes left. I'm going to give you a chance to give out your contact information, where people want some of the studies you talked about, where they can have access to this. But before I do that, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to ask you what the price of oil is going to be at the end of this year and at the end of next year, and then you can give us your contact information.
Well, everybody hates it when people pussyfoot through those kinds of questions, so let me just lay it out there. Interesting. I last night, in preparation for our talk today, I actually sat there and thought, what do I believe? And I went through a lot of my own data. I believe that oil, we will see certainly $60 oil. I don't think that's a difficult call. But I think by the end of the year, we have a decent possibility, maybe even more than 50%, of seeing $70 to $75 oil. Remember, as it climbs, there will be peaks and valleys. Nothing goes straight up. But you can see that every single time we reach a bottom, it immediately hits that bottom and comes back up. And that's because there's a lot of countries right now that are filling and trying to fill their strategic petroleum reserves, including China. If you're to believe T. Boone Pickens, he said you'll see $60 oil long before you'll ever see 40 again. Certainly he's been right about that so far. So I think this country is in for some really, really interesting times.
Okay.
And that would be my prediction. I would feel
it
this time.
Let me add a disclaimer here. This is one man's opinion. Dr. Corey's a bright man. I'm not sure I completely agree with him. I read a lot of conflicting data. We certainly hope he's wrong, not for his business, but for us. Roger, they're going to play some music in a while. Tell us we're going to commercial. I know you're excited to share your contact information. Why don't you give that?
Sure. The best way to find out more about this is to go to our website, www.mammothresource.com. We've got all kinds of articles, original articles created by our staff. Our phone contact information here for anyone that wants to talk about more, 877-MRP, Mammoth Resource Partners, MRP, four, the number four, oil, O-I-L.
And that's Roger, thank you for coming on. It's been a pleasure. Again, it's one man's opinion, folks, but I like to have on diverse people. Roger, it was a pleasure. Folks, stay tuned with us. You're listening to Voice America Business. We'll be right back with Robert Prechter following these quick messages.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now and never make a bad investment again. 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Are you interested in the immigration laws that are increasingly affecting the way we all live? Then you need to tune in to Learner on Immigration every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Host Brian Lerner, a certified specialist in immigration and nationality law, will give you updates on current immigration laws and allow you to call in and have your questions answered. The immigration policies of this country affect us all. Find out how on Lerner on Immigration with certified specialist Brian Lerner. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome back to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to be a caller on the show, dial toll-free at 1-888-766-6828. Now please welcome back the host of Profitable Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to another segment of Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. Folks, we're in for a treat right now. We're lucky enough to be joined by Robert Prechter. Most of you are familiar. Bob Prechter is the CEO, the founder of the Elliott Wave International, has tremendous notoriety in terms of interpretation of the Elliott Wave, not in the stock market or the bond market, but in all the various markets. And I saw him speak the other week. You'll be very, very interested to hear what he has to say. Bob, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Let me first say most everyone is familiar with you and your analysis of the Elliott Wave. Give us just a little background first before we get into the markets, how you got interested in the Elliott Wave and why you really feel so confident it's valid.
I got into it in the 70s when I was reading Richard Russell's Dow Theory Letters, and he was corresponding with a man named A.J. Frost from Canada who used to work with Hamilton Bolton, and those guys were keeping the wave principle alive from 1953 into 1970 with their publication. And I was learning technical analysis at the time, and I was never attracted to fundamental arguments, because which has since been pretty much proven to my satisfaction that there aren't any relationships of outside causes to the market that you can rely on in any environment. Technical analysis, I think, is something that you can use all the time, because what you're looking at is human psychology. And the wave principle distills that human psychology into a model of the market and how it goes from optimism at the peak to pessimism at the bottom and back again.
Fantastic. So what you're saying is, you know, everyone can explain or try to explain what just happened or thinks what happened. When you listen to the market, you're getting the clearest view.
Well, not only that, but I think with this type of analysis, you have a much better chance of forecasting what's likely to happen, because you can read the fever, the temperature of the market. Are people very afraid to go in? Are values really low? You know, are yields high in terms of dividends, all those things that would indicate you're at a bottom? Or are people very excited, optimistic, overvaluing what they're into, such as real estate today, for example?
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, look, you're closer to a top than a bottom. You may not be able to call the day,
right,
but that is going to give you the edge.
Right. Before we get into your opinions on the market, and I completely agree with you, before we get into that, the markets themselves, I want to share just a comment. I was warned about taking a public persona and being bullish or bearish on anything, saying you get painted to a corner. But let me ask you, you know, I know you've been very bold in your opinion. When the chart changes, what do?
Well, all of us are human, you know, and you're always fighting that. In fact, that is the most difficult aspect of not only analysis, but trading and investing.
Mm-hmm.
Because people get involved and they get their emotions involved and they get lazy if they're making money and so on. Everything can get in the way. And as an analyst, I think one of the most difficult things that I have, or you would have,
mm-hmm,
is if you are a public figure, changing your mind, you know, requires you have to embarrass yourself.
But if
you don't change your mind, you got the same problem. So
right.
The thing is, try to be right as much as you possibly can and make sure that on those times when you're wrong, you're not hurting anyone. For example, you know, being bearish in stocks tells people keep their money in cash and they can't get hurt.
Right. Well, see, what I was really getting at is I think that by listening to the market, you can change your opinion without worried about being wrong, because if you are, in fact, into the charts, when the chart turns, you should be able to turn. Am I right?
Yeah, you are right. And particularly, not in an absolute sense, like you're going to catch every move, but in a relative sense, it's so much better than the fundamentalist who says, well, because of rising oil prices, I'm bearish on the transport stocks,
right.
And the darn things go up every single month for 7 years while oil quintuples.
Right.
You can't do that because you have no way of changing your mind. You've got this opinion about how oil and these stocks are supposed to behave. They behave completely the opposite way, and you have no way to change your mind.
Right.
But as a technician, you can.
Right. Well, let me get into this, because I saw you speak recently. I was impressed by your analysis. I think I'm not afraid of scaring our folks out there. They're all encouraged to keep an open mind, listen to all sides. I know the Elliott Wave in your analysis covers many markets. Can you just jump right in, tell us your most important insights regarding the markets right now, whether you want to talk about stocks, bonds, or commodities?
Yeah, the most important insight I can give is that we're at one of the rarest junctures in history, very similar to 1929, 1930, when you had the stock market topping out on a major, major basis, and also you had commodities topping out as well. It's one of those rare times that precedes deflation, and I think we're going to see falling prices in virtually every one of the classic investments, be it real estate, stocks, junk bonds, precious metals or commodities, and that's where we are. That's why I'm telling people the main thing you want to do is get safe, get into cash, and when the bottoms come in a few years, you'll be able to buy stocks for 10 cents on the dollar, I think, from what they're selling today.
10 cents on the dollar. It's a scary thought. Let me get into a couple specifics here. I'm close with or friends with Jim Rogers. I'm reading his book where he's talking about 18-year cycles, commodities versus stocks. He thinks we're maybe 4 years into a commodity cycle. Can you share, you know, I know that gold doesn't look right, but what's, you know, so many people, we just had a guy on talking about oil can't do anything but go up. It looks like a lot of commodities are going up. Share with me what you're seeing in commodities that other people aren't.
First of all, I love Jim. He's great. He's brilliant. And it's with a lot of trepidation that I wouldn't want to agree with something he had to say. But let's focus on the statement you just made, which is very revealing.
Mm-hmm.
People are talking about oil. Why are they talking about oil? Because it's already up five times. They weren't on the air in 1998 when it was $11 a barrel,
uh-huh,
telling you all this stuff, were they? They wait until it quadruples and then start telling you it's going to go up forever when it's really getting very late in the game. The same thing has happened in every major market. People were coming on and saying, oh, the Nasdaq's going to go to infinity, and the S&P is going to go to 3,000, and the Dow is going to go to 15 or 36,000 or one of those numbers, and that was all at a top. You get this kind of excitement at those times. The precious metals went through that about a year ago. Everybody was saying gold and silver are going to go to the moon,
mm-hmm,
and they haven't, and they didn't. And you have to identify these extreme periods of emotional excitement. Now, one quick thing, because you brought up the commodities.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the commodity market is very subtle. It had a substantial rally, the CRB index, for example, in dollar terms,
mm-hmm,
in 2001 to 2004. But if you look at it in terms of any other currency, it was a very mild rally, didn't even get above its highs of the last couple decades. So I don't think that that commodities are going up per se. What's happening was the dollar was extremely weak for 2.5-3 years, and that reflected in the prices.
Right, and I know I saw you make that point. I'm glad you brought that up. Now, one of the things when we look at charts, and one of the problems I have, maybe you help me here, well, sometimes you look at a daily chart and it looks great, and you look at a weekly chart and it looks medium, you look at a yearly chart and it looks horrible. There's a certain belief that you can change the time frames on charts until you find one you like. What's the time frame of the charts that you like to look at most, that you think are the most helpful to you?
Well, that's one reason I use the wave principle, because it's based on what's called a hierarchical fractal, which means that the same patterns occur at the small degree as they do at the large. And you are 100% right. Sometimes the big picture can look terrible, very bearish, for example, and the intermediate picture might look bullish. So you might be bullish for 2 months against long-time highs inside of a bear market, or you might be bearish for a pullback in some bull market.
Mm-hmm.
So those do occur. You have to watch that you're not cherry-picking which degree that you're looking at, which time frame you're looking at. I think it's important to have a comprehensive view of the whole darn thing. I think if somebody just said, well, here's a daily chart, what do you think? I'd say, I don't know. I want to see as much history as possible.
Right. So you look at the different time frames, overlay them. Now, let me ask you this. This is really, an interesting thing. The thing I'm grappling with right now is the valuations on earnings are not awful right now. There's so much pessimism and distrust of the stock market itself.
Okay.
I don't see the enthusiasm in the stock market that you normally associate with tops. But you are seeing it in the charts yourself?
Absolutely. That's the only place I disagree with you, because we keep about 25 indicators of how people feel and what they're doing. So we've got really hard numbers, in other words, on what people have been doing. It's also important to put it into context of how long the optimism has been going on. A good example is the Investors Intelligence. They track the percentage of people bullish and bearish among advisors. Do you know, ever since the all-time high in the stock market, let's pick the Dow in January 2000 or the S&P in March 2000, there have been something like 285 weeks since then. And the weekly readings have shown more bulls than bears in 278 of those 287 weeks. So in other words, only 9 weeks during the entire period, 5 years plus, has there been more bears than bulls. This is the longest period of sustained optimism ever,
right.
And it's after a major top.
Right.
I could list another dozen, but you get the idea.
Now, you think what we need to see is a give up, and people need to walk away and actually not want to open the papers for a period of time, and the pendulum might swing that far.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned the PE, and the PE has come down from an outrageous level of 50. It's now down in the 20s. But if you look at the last century, the major tops of 1937, 1966, 1968, all were with PE in the low to mid-20s. So that used to be an area where you'd have a major top. Major bottoms are usually when the PE was 6 or 7. So I think that even that has a lot of room.
Okay, and I'm seeing levels a little bit below what you're saying. Let me make sure I'm going to get our interview right. We're going to need to take a break. Could I ask you to stay through the commercial and kind of stay a few more minutes or you need to run?
No, let's do it.
Okay, good. Folks, I want to make sure, Bob, because I want to let you get your contact information if you wanted. I know you have a lot of valuable insight, not only to discuss, but where they can actually access some of your information. Folks, we're going to stay with Bob Prechter. You are listening to Voice America Business. I'm Jordan Kimmel. We'll be right back with more profitable investing after this quick break.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now and never make a bad investment again. 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stock.
Win with effective marketing. Win with proper positioning and branding. Win with Dick McDonald on his show Win-Win Marketing for Buyers and Sellers every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, we will discuss the challenges and common mistakes made in today's industry while providing you insight on what you can do to avoid these pitfalls. Get ahead with effective marketing in today's world. Listen to Win-Win Marketing for Sellers and Buyers with Dick McDonald, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, here on the Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Daddy, I think Bullet wants wants to go outside.
Then take him, son. Sure, he's a Great Dane, meaner and 100 pounds heavier than you. Sure, he's strong enough to tow an SUV, but you're a Peterson, and at four, you're a man. So take Bullet's chain and wrap it around your wrist twice.
Like this?
I use both hands, but hey. Now show him who's boss. Let him know who's top of the food chain.
But I'm afraid I could get hurt.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Just keep him away from that cat.
Come on, boy.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Make him spit that cat out this instant!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 1-888-766-6828. Once again, that number is 1-888-766-6828. Let's get back to another segment of Profitable Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back one more time. You are listening to Profitable Investing with me, your host, and we are joined by Bob Prechter, the one of the most well-known commentators on the market over the years. And Bob, you had made some tremendous market calls over your career. I know that you're still willing, luckily people are willing to be out and not follow the crowds. One of the things I want to share before we get into more of your opinions, what we do on this show, Bob, instead of trying to give people a hot stock or a hot idea for the day, we encourage everyone to read, to do their own homework. I myself am not a long-only investor. I do see tremendous overvaluation in areas of the market. I personally see undervaluation in some others. So I'm willing to kind of play some long-short at times. But what I really want to, you know, kind of get into is the ability for you first of all, let me ask you this. What should people read right now? I know you put out your own information. What should people get their hands around right now to protect themselves and their assets for the next 2 to 5 years?
Well, you just left me a great opening there. I think that the cheapest way to get the best answer about how to deploy your investment funds in the safest possible way is just to read a book that I put out 2 years ago called Conquer the Crash. And the first half gives you all the reasoning that we've been talking about on the show, and the second half says, here's what you should do, step by step. And it's called Conquer the Crash. It's by John Wiley and Sons, the publishers. You can find it in any bookstore, or you can go on our website, ElliottWave.com, and it's shipped out same day.
Okay. And I am a prolific reader. I will admit that I have not read that yet.
You got to get a copy. When we're done, let me know and I'll send you one.
Please. No, I am a prolific reader. I love the idea, too. What we were talking about during the break, folks, is that Bob has been known to take strong opinions and be willing to change his opinions when they change. So when you're hearing Bob talk about what he's thinking, his newsletter might change, and you might a year or two later say, well, I remember Bob Prechter saying something. He might already be in a different direction, so it's important to keep topical. And while I'm not trying to be a major tout for your newsletter, don't you put out a newsletter too?
Oh, yeah, we've got a lot of services here. We're at Elliott Wave International. The best thing people can do is just come get a lot of our stuff off the website, which is free. We have a daily comment that goes out, no charge, and we've got comments on everything from the stock market to currencies and everything else and foreign markets. And that's ElliottWave.com. Elliott has two L's and two T's, and Wave is like on the ocean, ElliottWave.com.
Okay. Well, now let me ask this. There's a lot of people out there willing to tell you what the world will look like in 20 and 30 years, and, you know, frankly, I think it's much more important to try to get the current environment right and then adapt. How far out do you think you can be able to look? And I think maybe your waves might help you look a little further than others.
Most people say I'm just too far out in general.
That's great.
Well, I'll give you an example. We put out something on our daily update. We talk about the market three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, in very comprehensive fashion. And last Friday, Steve Hochberg, who does the short-term update for us, put out a piece, and he showed exactly why he was calling for a high on June the 1st in the stock market. Well, that ended up being the intraday high for the Dow. The S&P made a slightly higher high on Tuesday, but only intraday, and it reversed very quickly. So we're that short-term oriented sometimes, and we're calling for a down June, for example, in the stock market. So if you're a trader or you're trying to time your investments, that's very helpful. But the books that I write, like Conquer the Crash and some of the reports I put out under the Elliott Wave Theorist header, are very long-term. I'm showing cycles, for example, that look to be pointing down into about 2012, plus or minus a couple of years. So that is going to be, to us, a terrific buying opportunity, probably a 1932 low.
If everyone still has their assets at the time.
Well, that's the key. You've got to get out of the way. You know, the Joe Kennedys and people like that from the late 20s weren't geniuses in terms of when they bought so much as when they got out. They got out a little early, but they kept their buying power all the way down while everybody else stayed in the stock market and watched their assets dwindle away. That's what you can't do.
Right. Let me bring up something with, you know, to teach our folks, so maybe you can relate it to the wave. People talk about market timing, and they're really using stochastics and MACD, and that's not market timing. That's more of technical trading. You know, market timing has to do with more accounts and you know, longer-term waves and trends. Could you want to just tell us the difference, you know, share that and how, kind of how that fits in with the Elliott wave?
Well, I guess market timing is any approach that tries to get in and out of the market in general. In other words, most people are stock pickers, and they will claim, therefore, that you can't time the market. What they really mean is they can't time the market. And that's fine. You know, some people are good at picking stocks, and other people are pretty good at timing the market.
Okay.
And very few can put them together. But, yeah, I think it's completely valid. You know, you can be a good stock picker, and in a bear market, you might say, well, I'm very happy because, you know, the market went down 50%, but I only lost 42. But you see, your clients aren't really happy.
Right. Right. No, but I think what I'm talking about, there was a gentleman, Gould, where I had a client years and years ago talk to me about counts. And 56 days from today, a count was going to come up.
Okay, well,
he's trying to time
the market, but he's trying to forecast it and say when it'll turn in advance. You can do that with some approaches, cycle approaches, for example, which can be very useful in many environments. And I know some really terrific cycle analysts out there who've been doing this for 20 years plus. That's really useful. The wave principle is a little more of a right now sort of thing if you're going to time short term. It's when the patterns are complete. You're not always privy to the time in advance, although we had this June 1st date virtually perfectly, and we do that occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's when we see a form completed. I'll give you one quick example. Yesterday, I put out a flash report. I don't do that very often. It's the first one of the entire year.
Okay.
And I said the S&P looks like it's just completed a form that probably is a short-term top. So we try to do it when we see it.
Right, and to me, it's interesting, you know, in the short term, the market looked overbought. I mean, I sit in front of a Quotron when I'm in the office. We were down strong. Greenspan finished talking. I'm not even sure what he said. We're back up again. It does look overbought to me. I think that the most important thing, I am a stock picker, but I think that we all know when the market is very strong in one direction, it's going to take you there high or low. And I believe that any advantage that an investor can give themselves by having the overall direction of the market is just absolutely critical.
You're right.
We're going to wrap up in a couple minutes.
On those stock picks.
Why don't you share with them, again, I know you gave a pretty strong prediction of a tough market. What about the bond market?
You know, that's one area I can't help anybody right now. I don't have an opinion on it. I think on a very long-term basis, as I said in Conquer the Crash, interest rates are going lower in any bond that can remain AAA, because as we head into deflation, that's a great place for people to park money. And so you've seen, you know, the bonds keep going higher than people think they should, and they've been fooled all along. But on a short-term basis, I don't know. They're a little overbought. They could react for a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything that we really didn't get into, a strong opinion that you think that we really need to hear while we have you on? We're lucky
enough
to have you.
Yeah, there's one area that I'd like to mention to people. Usually when people are bearish on the stock market, they think, well, I should be buying gold and silver because they go countercyclically.
Okay.
But actually they go countercyclically very rarely, and it's usually in the middle of a big economic cycle of 50 or 60 years long when inflation is raging. We're not in that situation right now. We're in a very different one. Gold appears to me to have topped out at 457. In fact, 2 months before that high, we had a target at that level. And silver topped out almost a year before gold. Now, the last time that happened was 1987. Silver topped in the first half of the year and gold in December, just like it did this time. And so I think without that confirmation, you've got a really strong indication of the top.
Okay, fantastic. And, you know, I think you've seen a lot of people talk gold. And, again, just like you say, when gold was the strongest, people were coming out of the woodworks to talk it. I think you see the emotions, you know, really run high. And I think what we just had a great discussion with Bob about is that most important, what we talk about here, Bob, is controlling your emotions, really using, I use something called the magnet stock selection process, but you need to do something to control the emotions. Emotional investing is probably, you know, I'd have to say the worst of all.
I would agree completely. You need to try to avoid it. Again, we're human, we can't avoid it completely, but sometimes if you've got a good approach to the market, you've got the discipline to follow it, you realize the market's a probabilistic game. It means you're going to be right sometimes and wrong, but if you're right more often, you come out a winner. That's how these guys like Paul Tudor Jones are worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right. Well, let me say, Bob, I need to hear the music. Bob Precht is another winner. I really appreciate you coming on. We need to wrap up. Folks, I hope you have a profitable week ahead. You've been listening to Profitable Investing. Join us same time next week. And, Bob, we're certainly going to ask you to come back and join us again. Very interested in what you had to say. And great profits to you as well.
Okay, and I'll send you that copy of Conquer the Crash.
We appreciate that. Folks, thanks again. Have a profitable week. It's Jordan signing off. See you next week.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another exciting hour of Profitable Investing, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Did you realize that most states in our country consider assisted food and fluids artificial life support? Did you know that food and water could be taken away from